It's Thursday, 1st of February, and you're listening to the Greencast. I'm your host, Ace, and joining me are Cello.
Ciao.
Dominoid.
Good evening.
Catty.
Hello.
And special guest, David Brevik.
Hello, thank you.
Today we'll be covering the RuneScape mobile beta invites have been sent out. The game Gigantic is being discontinued. Monster Hunter World has broken franchise sales figures. And we'll be talking quite a bit about It Lurks Below, which is David Brevik's new game, which starts its beta tomorrow. But first up, as we usually do, what have you been reviewing or previewing or articling for Game Grin? Cello?
Nothing. Really busy with work, so I haven't been able to anything for Game Grin lately.
So instead you're streaming some Vermintide?
Perhaps. Yes, I'm streaming Vermintide to kind of make up for all that.
Okay, Dominoid?
So I have been reviewing a game called Molten Armor, which is... I can't quite work out the reason of the name because it doesn't really involve armor as such. It is a tower defense game. And well, I don't want to spoil anything on the review, but let's just say I have created my budget for the month and paired all of my socks over playing the game on more than one occasion this month.
So it's slow moving.
It's not. Yeah, it's not a game that's grabbing me just yet, but I'm hoping it'll get better. It might just be a slow burner. It might just, yeah. There's games that have been... I felt that way about Final Fantasy VII back in the day, where I played the first hour or so, didn't enjoy it, and it was only when a friend convinced me that I should give it another chance and play a bit longer that I actually got hooked on it. So it might be one of those. It has got some of the worst English that I've seen in a long time, though. It's zero win levels, so it's not a good start. But more positive, I have been replaying some of the Dizzy games. There are two articles in the moment I'm doing. I'm going to rank all of the Dizzy puzzle games and all of the Dizzy adventure games for the site, which is an incredibly difficult task because they're all really, really good.
You're not biased at all?
No, not at all. Not at all. Dizzy isn't my spirit animal or anything.
Right, we appear to have lost Cello to a blue screen, so the stream is not currently running. So congratulations for downloading this episode of the podcast. You are hearing things that people who turn up to the stream aren't getting in an unusual twist. Might as well move on because David has things to do. Catty.
Hello. I have been playing some more Overgrowth, I'm getting slightly better at it. I don't think that it was last week I was saying that I was having trouble with some of the controls. It's definitely a lot more tempo based than I was expecting. But once you sort of start getting into the rhythm, it really is very fun. You can get some ridiculous combos and things going in it. Yeah, I've been really enjoying that. And I've not really been playing much else this week.
If I recall correctly, last week you were saying that you were having a bit of trouble with Overgrowth's combat.
Yeah, as I was saying, it was kind of... It's very it's a very hard game. Like, they make no qualms about saying that this game is easy. Even on the easiest difficulty, you have to really know what you're looking out for and know exactly what you're doing before you can start not being destroyed by literally everything. But I feel I'm starting to get there. I'm starting to sneak up on enemies a bit better and start kicking their heads off a little bit less at the cost of my own life. So, yeah, it's better than I thought it was going to be. After that sort of first impression.
I'm glad you managed to get good. I've played the first hour and a half of Monster Hunter World for an article or two I'm working on. Having only played the original Monster Hunter before, it's quite different from the PlayStation 2 game. It looks really good. Combat is slow if you use a great sword like I have been. But yeah, it's quite fun.
I feel bad for having never played a Monster Hunter game. I'm clearly missing out, aren't I? Am I going to need to get this to be in the crowd?
You're our resident Nintendo guy. And Monster Hunter's only been on Nintendo consoles except for the first one.
I'm only the resident Nintendo guy because I'm the only person that bought a Wii U, to be fair. I was
not the only person.
One of three.
There's two of us.
Yeah, I am. Oh, actually. Of course.
The entire Wii buying public might actually be on this podcast then. I was never a Nintendo fan back in the day. I was a Sega fanboy, but obviously that's no longer a thing now. But can I just say, I absolutely played the hell out of Aero the Acrobat. So thanks for that one.
Well, thank you. Wow, that's a blast from the past. I'm not sure that many people even know that I worked on that game.
It's a really underrated game.
Other than that, I've played Stardew Valley for half an hour. The So I Tried article should be going up maybe next week. I didn't have a ton of fun with it because I kept running out of stamina and taking 45 minutes to walk back to the house so I can go to sleep.
Yeah, that is a problem with that game. If you don't look at your stamina quite often, you can end up really messing yourself up.
Yeah, it didn't help that I got lost on the first day, and then I had to find my way back home walking as sluggishly as possible.
If there's a possibility of getting lost, I should probably never play the game, should I?
Oh no, you should never.
Did you find the map?
If I say no, will I look stupid?
No, my friend played about 100 hours of Stardew Valley and did not realise there was a map. I think if you just push M, there is a map that comes up. It's part of your inventory screen.
The game does not explain very much. It just says, you now own this farm, do stuff.
Yeah, pretty much.
Oh, which brings us to David. What have you been playing?
Well, mainly my game, you know, doing a lot of testing because since I'm making the game by myself, there aren't a whole lot of testers, so I've been playing that, but kind of in my spare time I play Star Wars Galaxy Heroes on the mobile, and I played a lot of Stardew Valley, but I haven't played that in a little while, and then on the PC I don't know what I've been playing. I think the last thing I played was kind of the latest patch from No Man's Sky.
I've heard that it makes quite a change to the game.
The
latest patch.
Yeah, the latest patches have really improved the game quite a bit, and I've enjoyed myself quite. I played a lot of hours of that now at this point.
I think it's really indicative of sort of how much of a labor of love the game is that they're still updating and they're still improving, and this was a game that they got a lot of stick for not being what they wanted it to be when it first launched, and they're still persevering and they're still adding things that people want in, and I think that's a really commendable thing, because they could have just done what some other developers have done previously and just gone, well, it hasn't worked, so we'll just cut our losses now.
Yeah, I really applaud them for doing that, and not only that, but also making the patches free. You know, that's it's pretty incredible. I'm not quite sure how they are staying in business. I mean, the fact is that I know that they sold some copies of No Man's Sky, but it had such a bad backlash at the beginning. I can't imagine they sold a whole bunch of copies, and so to kind of fund the next few years of development, you know, that's it's pretty amazing that they're able to continue to support that and give out free patches, because the game is vastly improved from where it was.
Yeah, it sold a heck of a lot on launch, but you've got to imagine a number of those were refunded or sold onto to the grey market and such.
Right.
Right, for those of you who are not aware, David Bredovic is the creator of, well, you might have heard, the creator of several games, including Diablo. He co-founded Blizzard North, ran Gazillion Entertainment during the time when Marvel Heroes was good, and he's now the sole employee of Greybeard Games, as he just mentioned. And you're working on It Lurks Below. I keep saying beneath for some reason.
Yeah, yes, I am working on It Lurks Below.
Yep, and it's described as a Terraria meets Diablo. And there's going to be 200 closed beta testers playing it across Twitch this weekend, including yourself.
Yeah, that's right. You know, it'll be an interesting experiment because, you know, I'm making this game all by myself. I'm doing all of the programming and art and music and everything. So it'll be, I'm a little nervous about how much testing has been taking place. And I just hope that it goes smoothly. I think it'll be fine, but, you know, I'm always nervous about these things.
I can imagine it's a bit different from having a huge team to boss around.
Yeah, absolutely. And I've done nothing but huge games, really, for a little while now. I've, you know, ever since Diablo, going from Diablo to Diablo 2 to Hellgate London to Marvel Heroes, like the teams have been getting bigger and bigger, and Marvel Heroes and the company was probably, you know, when I got there, it was like 300 people by the time I was leaving. It was probably, we had kind of, there were a bunch of projects that didn't work at Gazillion before I became the CEO. And once I did become the CEO, then we were probably about 100, 150 people. And so, you know, to go from that, where we had all sorts of resources and QA and things like that, to a single person, you know, I've got some friends and I'm married and things like that. So other people are testing, but it's a lot different. 100 people find bugs a lot faster than one or two.
Oh yeah, definitely.
So, what was the inspiration to go back to that sort of that one man created game? Was it sort of the extra creative control, or just something to challenge yourself again?
I think it was a little bit of both. I mean, largely, you know, when I was a kid, I didn't dream, oh, someday I want to be in the video game industry so that I can run companies. And so I had kind of, though I'm very good at it and I keep getting promoted to being president or CEO of whatever companies I'm involved with, you
first
know,
world
it's,
problem.
Yeah, that's not really my passion, right? I wanted to make video games. And so being the CEO, where I'm spending a bunch of time, you know, making PowerPoint presentations for investors and things like that, is very different than actually creating video games. I got to do a lot of design and feedback stuff for Marvel Heroes, but I didn't really get to do any programming or anything like that. So getting back to actually getting in and doing the thing that I love the most was one of the biggest reasons I left Gazillion and wanted to kind of do it. But then I kind of went extreme. I mean, I could have raised some money and made a small team and, you know, made a 20 or 30 person company and made kind of a, you know, medium sized game. But for some crazy reason, I decided that I want to try this all by myself. And so that's kind of the way that I've gone, and we'll see how good of a decision that is or not. But you know, I'm having a lot of fun, which is great.
Well, if you can do a job that you find fun, that's the best thing.
Absolutely. It's all about passion. I think it shows in the project too. It's just how passionate I am about the product and about making it great. And that's one of the reasons I'm going to stream it on Twitch this weekend and allowing some other people to play, just because I want to get some feedback to make the best possible game. And that was really one of the big things I enjoyed and really wanted to do more of with Marvel Heroes, was getting that feedback and improving the product over time. And that was something that, that I'm really passionate about continuing in the future.
What was it like working on such a different project to the RPGs you're usually known for?
You mean working on Marvel Heroes, or what are you asking?
Well, we're working on a Terraria-style game rather than an isometric Diablo / Marvel Heroes.
Well, it's very different. But I'd say the thing that's the most different is actually just working by myself. Working with colleagues is something that I've always done. So, you know, now kind of just sitting here working by myself, am I making good decisions, or am I just completely insane? I think those are really the biggest changes for me. Actually doing the coding and the design work and making games and playing the game and things like that are things I've done before, so I'm pretty used to that. But doing it by yourself in a little box is a very new experience and kind of strange.
What made you decide to do a survival / creative game?
Well, I think that I love these style of games. I played a lot of Terraria and Starbound and Minecraft, and so in a lot of ways I wanted that kind of experience. But I felt like a lot of those games, without kind of all the mods that are out there, are we're kind of lacking in what I really like in games, which is more of a point, a little bit of a kind of a loose story, and more of a, hey, there's a clear path and a clear goal of what you're going to do. I like sandbox to some degree, but I'm not a only sandbox kind of person. I want there to feel like I'm accomplishing something great in the game. So, you know, I kind of want to mix the game Diablo and its kind of loot style and random worlds and random items and random monsters and things like that with this kind of sandboxy feel. And so, you know, that's really where this came from. It came from a passion of playing those games and really enjoying them, and then wanting to kind of put my own twist on it.
Yeah, that kind of leads into my next question. What makes It Lurks Below unique compared to the other Terraria, Starbound, and Edge of Space, that sort of thing?
Yeah, well, I feel like those games mostly are pretty open-ended. You kind of find the fun or do the fun yourself, and there aren't really goals or anything like that. So getting into a game where, it's kind of a clear-cut thing, and there's a lot of leveling, and there's stats, and there's classes, and there's, all of the loot and builds and things like that. So it's much more of an RPG than kind of those games in a lot of ways. I mean, I think Terraria's got a little bit more variety than perhaps Starbound, especially instead of Minecraft. But I think that this is kind of, like I said, it's infusing a lot of RPG Diablo-ness into the genre.
That's fair enough. I do find, Starbound's the one I've played most of. It is very open-ended. There's, well, same problem I found with Stardew Valley. It's, I like to be told what to do.
Yeah. I'm the same way. And, you know, having a clear-cut goal gives you a purpose of what you're doing, and that's always been my goal. I mean, Diablo is a great example. Your goal is the name of the game, right? So it's pretty easy to imagine this is going to be a much more goal-oriented kind of game.
Sounds like I'll enjoy it. Right, does anyone else have any questions they'd like to ask?
How are you finding the? Because a few other games have sort of tried to do the whole here's a big open sandbox, but also here's what we want you to do. How have you found sort of balancing the player freedom versus here's a story kind of thing?
Well, I think that it's kind of difficult, but the sandboxiness of the game is fairly, I don't know, fairly limited. You can sit there and you can work on your base and make it all fancy and things like that. But a lot of the progress in the game is really focused in terms of you're delving down into the world and exploring and fighting monsters and finding new loot and leveling up and those kind of things. And there are clear goals and quests that kind of drive you down and make sure that that you're kind of progressing in the game. You can take time out to make your base more pretty if you want, you know, and add special things and grow different types of crops or whatever. But the real point and the real driving part of the game is much more like a Diablo kind of style.
Fair enough. Sounds good.
One of our podcasters, Pius, he couldn't be here today. He did. Well, the reason in my email I asked what's if there was anything that was off limits, and you said there wasn't, is because he wanted to talk about loot tables and how the ones in Marvel Heroes differed from the ones in Diablo.
Yeah, well, the entire loot system was very different in Marvel Heroes than Diablo, and there are a bunch of reasons why this was. Mainly, you know, technology had changed and we were trying to use specific tools and things like that that kind of changed some of the behavior of the way that we were going to go. Plus, you know, I think that one of the things that was the most difficult challenge of Marvel Heroes in general was creating loot for superheroes, which was, you know, I always knew that that was going to be the biggest challenge, but not being able to see your equipment when you change, you know, your items and items don't necessarily mean as much to superheroes was a big thing to overcome. And so, you know, just from that kind of standpoint alone, it was really important to kind of go with a different theory for the way that the loot was going to work for Marvel Heroes.
Does the fact that it was free to play make a bit of a difference? Do you have to approach from a slightly different angle when you've got to also think about making money from a game that you're not selling as well?
I mean, there are definitely design considerations when you're making a free to play game that you know. But since we knew what we wanted to sell, which was kind of basically character classes, it was different heroes. You could earn them or you could, you know, buy them. You know, I think that it didn't really affect kind of the nitty gritty RPG design. Not really the free to play part, but definitely the superhero part did, but not really the free to play part, because that wasn't really ever part of the microtrans, you know, strategy. And so getting in and making sure that the thing that you were going to buy or earn in the game was, you know, clear that it would just be cosmetic things or it would be, you know, these character classes. I think that those had a overall meta kind of design impact, but not really on kind of like the stats level.
It's really interesting. I'm sure that Pius would have loved to really go in depth with all of this. But as I mentioned, you've got the game launching tomorrow in a closed beta. So I imagine you've got plenty of things to do, last minute patches and such. So we won't take up any more of your time. Thank you very much for joining us.
Hey, it was my pleasure. Anytime, and thanks for having me on.
You're very welcome. If you want to check out It Lurks Below, you can find it across Twitch from tomorrow, or you can go to twitch.tv/greybeardgames. That's grey with an A. At the following times, Friday, tomorrow, from 9 p.m. till 11 p.m. PST, Pacific Standard Time. Saturday the 3rd from 3 p.m. until 5 p.m. Sunday the 4th from 10 a.m. until noon. Or Monday the 5th from noon until 2, all times Pacific Standard Time.
For our UK viewers, add 8 hours to those times.
Yes.
You want to, if you want to tune in.
Yeah, absolutely. The, you know, you can. It's posted actually on the Twitch channel, and then I'll be, you know, reminding people over Twitter and whatnot.
I'll just paste the link into our viewers, so it's easier for them to find, and I'll post a link in the show notes for anyone listening at home. Good luck tomorrow, David.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Yeah. Good luck.
Yeah, I hope it goes well. I shall, when I get back from work, I shall tune in as well.
Sounds great. Thanks, everybody. Talk to you later.
Thanks again.
See you later.
All right, this seems like a good opportunity to check in with Cello and Spherical, who are playing Vermintide on the stream.
There are so many rats.
How are you finding it?
Is that not kind of the point?
This is the first time you're playing it, isn't it, Spherical?
Yeah, I am, and yeah, this is good. The stream can't see this, but this is hilarious. There's a dead rat that is just jibbing the fuck out. Yeah, no. Other than that, this is pretty fun. It's very Left 4 Dead. I'm getting a lot of vibes of that.
This does look very good. I might have to pick up a copy and join you at some point.
Yeah, I mean, I'm running this on low graphics at the moment, and this game still looks fantastic, so, and it's running really well, so well, it's good.
Dominoid, they have announced Vermintide 2, so
I think you can probably get this Vermintide, cheaper. If you buy Vermintide 2, I think you get Vermintide 1 for free. I think.
Well, I know Rash is always trying to get people into a game of it.
I can kind of see why now.
Cello, can you hear us?
I can, yes.
I take it you enjoy the game because you're the one who suggested it, aren't you?
Not really, no. I suggested it because it would be like good to play and all that on the stream. It would be like something interesting for people to watch. But I actually have I don't think it has a very good progression and some very dubitable design decisions. So, like, it's great for playing, like, one mission once and all that, but after that just becomes an endless grind. So I never could play this game more than, like, 2 or 3 missions in a row. And once I finished the story, I just completely lost interest.
There's a story?
Isn't it
just, there's a rat invasion, go kill them?
Pretty much, and then, like, you have several, you kind of make your way through the city, and then you start getting, like, oh, save this, get our food, blah, 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 and to eventually stop the ritual that is coming to kill everybody. And as Federico said, the graphics are pretty good, and when you see stuff like that, oh, that guy's dead. When you see stuff like the city from above with the moon shining down, now that is a very pretty game, but hoping for the second one to be better.
The AI is a little bit special, though. In the time when we were off stream waiting for Cello to come back, we were waiting by sort of the edge of this waterfront, and the AI kept running around in circles and falling off the edge of the world. It was quite funny.
Yeah, for people who are watching the stream, that whole bunch of storm rats, armored enemies, just came straight through the door that was closed. They just walked through the doors, nothing was there. So I was going to open the door, and then 12 enemies walked through. That was fun.
I just had a quick check, and you get one of the DLCs for the first game free if you pre-order the second, but not the actual first game. And strangely enough, pre-ordering the second game is currently cheaper than buying the first one.
But does the first one come with all the DLC?
It doesn't look like that.
Oh, I thought it might be, maybe it was a collection or Game of the Year edition or something.
There is a like special edition upgrade on Steam for about 12 quid, so presumably that adds all of that. But yeah, this was just the base game. It's 2 quid more expensive. I mean, it looks like it's worth it, but still.
All right, well, moving on to our other topics for this cast. There are 2,000 people who have received a RuneScape mobile invitation.
But isn't the point of an MMO that you don't have to leave the house?
What, now you can. You can play it while you're in the shops.
Well, that's almost against the spirit of an MMO for me. When I was in my Warcraft addiction phase, it was all about never leaving the house and never doing anything mobile. I could order food on the internet.
Well, I take it none of you are amongst the 2,000 people selected.
I constantly forget the RuneScape's even a game.
You're not alone. Right, Gigantic is getting its final update because it's being discontinued in July. It's a MOBA.
My penis.
It's a MOBA where two teams, there's a kaiju at each end of the map, and you have to fight your way to the enemy's kaiju and kill it before it can reach a certain point.
It basically took the idea that from Smite that in the two other main MOBAs, League of Legends and Dota, you're trying to destroy buildings, and that's not always the most satisfying thing to do, to just stand there whacking on a thing. So they decided, what if it fights back? And with Smite, they literally their thing is the Titan or something that just fights back and kills people quite regularly. With Gigantic, they took that to, it's just another unit, basically.
Thing is, we knew it was coming. There were layoffs and issues, and they got, because there were layoffs back in 2016, and I think it was sometime in the middle of last year, wasn't it, that it was announced that most of the developers that were left were getting made redundant. So it was sort of only a matter of time. But it's very sad. There's some very talented developers there that have lost jobs. And it looked like it could have been quite a promising game with the right marketing and the right forward direction. And like Katie said, there's some bits that might have been tweaked had it been more successful, but without having them tweaked, it wasn't successful, and yeah, very sad.
Yeah, perfect world. Are a business trying to make money, and it obviously wasn't doing that well enough.
The thing is, they only sort of took them over about a year ago or so, and there was a lot of furore at the time when they first announced the closure, which was November, looking back at our news on it. And it sort of, there was a lot of furore that they'd announced that this was a partnership and not a merger, but essentially it was just a case of they got bought out. And haven't Perfect World just done it with another company as well, the people who made Hob?
I can't remember off the top of my head. But if you ever wanted to play Gigantic, you've got until 31st of July. All the heroes are free because they've disabled their stores. Obviously very sad when a game gets closed down. Especially one that's been through the ringer as Gigantic has.
To be honest though, it suffered the same death that Infinite Crisis and Dawngate suffered, where it's trying to go into a market where people have already got this massive sunk cost fallacy of they've put hundreds of hours into League of Legends or Dota, or even Smite now. They don't want to branch out and do a new one, not in the same genre at least. And they think they marketed it too much as a MOBA.
Yeah, maybe they'll move people across to... don't they also own Fortnite? Am I repeating incorrect information?
That's Epic Games who own Fortnite. This is Perfect World. It was Runic Games that they closed down last year. So I'm guessing Perfect World are trying to be sort of the EA of the East.
Isn't that Tencent?
I suppose Tencent are doing the churn out loads of games thing, whereas Perfect World are doing the buy out your competitors and then just squeeze them into nothing and close the studio down after 6 months.
Yeah, that is much more of EA than Tencent.
Tencent are more the PopCap Games, who I know now are EA, but weren't originally. I'm getting confused. Basically, everyone are owned by EA. I sat down at a bus stop for too long the other day, and EA tried to buy me. It's not nailed down. If it's not nailed down, they try and buy it. It's either them or Disney.
Right, from a game that's closing to a game that's breaking series sales records, Monster Hunter World. It's in the few, well, the opening weekend that it's been out, it shipped over 5 million units, which is more than any other title in such a short period of time, in that franchise. And to say it's still got the PC release coming in about October, I believe.
It's not actually out on PC then?
No, it's out on PlayStation 4 and Xbox One.
You have to excuse my ignorance. What is it, like Pokemon sort of thing, where you capture monsters and fight them to their death?
No, you find monsters and beat them to death. So it's entirely not like Pokemon.
The monster.
So it's like every other game.
Well, there's more strategy. It's basically every monster you see is a boss fight from a 90s game. You need to find the weak spot and then hammer that.
Oh, for maximum damage.
Yes.
I'm watching a little bit on Twitch now, and it does look pretty pretty. There's a little guy that glows blue, and there's a bloke in a tavern, and yeah, I'm bored now.
Yeah, the original Monster Hunter, I spent most of the time I played it in the tavern drinking beer, because you just hit a button and he chugs from the stein. I just thought that was great. I was easily pleased.
I used to do that in World of Warcraft. Just like the fact that everything used to go wobbly and you couldn't walk properly when you got drunk.
Right, I take it I'm the only person here who's played Monster Hunter World.
I'm waiting for it to come out on PC. Mainly because I don't have a console to play it on, so I don't really have much choice.
Most of today, I think every single one of today's topics is something I am unfamiliar with. Like, don't have a lot to offer.
I'd have a lot to offer on Gigantic, but there really isn't much. It's just another, it was another MOBA failure story, and past that.
Did anyone saw the Surviving Mars release date was announced today?
I saw that it was announced. I didn't actually get around to watching the trailer.
Well, the trailer is not important if you know what the game is about.
Yeah, base building on Mars.
A colony builder, and an actually good one, too. Instead of, you know, there's dozens of those ever since Steam started doing Indian stuff, but most of them are not really good. But this one is pretty good. Look forward to that.
Well, it's coming from Paradox.
So,
not really, no. Paradox is only publishing. The developers are the people behind Victor Vron, which is similar to Diablo, the thing we were discussing about earlier.
So when is it coming then?
22nd of March.
That gives me a couple of months to say, but that one does actually look quite... I think you were talking about that a couple of podcasts ago, I think, weren't you, when I wasn't here? It sounded very, very good.
Yeah, my review piece is bound to go up on Game Green soon, before the game launches.
You only have 6 weeks.
Oh my god, I don't know if I'll make it.
You say that jokingly, but...
I actually did it quite alright. I checked it like a couple of days ago, and it was still not... Bishop hadn't cleared it for proofing, so I was like, for publishing it, so I was like, okay. Gotta wait for people to proof it before it goes up.
Right, on to our final topic, our backup topic in case we ran short, which we have because of various technical issues.
Sorry.
Each month we put out a series of articles called the Freebie Feelers, about the games that have gone free on Xbox One for the games with gold and the PlayStation line with PlayStation Plus. The latest games, well, the February games were released, that were revealed recently. Are there any titles you guys are looking forward to reading about? We've got Shadow Warrior, Assassin's Creed Chronicles India, Split Second, and Crazy Taxi on the Xbox One. Personally, I never got around to playing Split Second, so I'm interested
that,
in
is Split Second
reading about that
the
one.
Disney published racing game, the one where you have the where the racetrack changes and everything explodes.
As far as the Disney thing, yes. As far as the rest, I don't know. As I was saying.
Yeah, if it's the Disney one, then that's that one.
Because it's in a Disney bundle on Steam. That's the only reason I know that. As for Crazy Taxi, hasn't everyone in the world played / owned that yet?
I think I've played it on a thingy box. Arcade machine. That's what I was going for.
Yeah, I believe it was originally an arcade game, then it came to Dreamcast and everything else from there. It's pulling a Tetris.
Oh, I don't know whether this is completely brand new news, but there's apparently a Stargate Origins trailer. Let me see if I can find it.
The thing that I'd say with Crazy Taxi is Sega lost all of the licensing to the original soundtrack quite some time ago. So all of the subsequent re-releases have had a different soundtrack, and it's not quite the same. It's nice to have it on another system, but honestly, I would rather just go upstairs and play it on the Dreamcast. PlayStation 4's got some good stuff. Knack, which I thought was brilliant.
Yeah, the original Knack, Rhyme, Spelunker HD, Mugen Souls Z, one of them, Exile's End, and Grand Kingdom. You're saying you're looking forward to Knack?
Well,
I thought you were the only person who bought it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not necessarily looking forward to it for me. But I'd quite like to see a few more people see how good it is, because it got really overshadowed at launch because it wasn't the sort of title that people buy at the launch of a new console. It was sort of a cutesy, family-friendly platformer, and that's not what sells new hardware. So I think people just sort of rebelled against it because of that. But now it's a few years later, and you can appreciate it for what it is. It's just a fun, nice little platformer. Hopefully it will get a bit more of a wider audience. I've played and thoroughly enjoyed both of the Knack games. But I'm very excited for Rhyme, because I'd never actually played that. It's one of those I'll get round to it someday games, and now it's free, so I'm sure I'll get round to it now.
I got Knack as part of the original when I bought my PlayStation 4, mainly because they didn't have the Killzone bundle. But then when it came to actually me playing Killzone, I thought Knack was a better game.
What happened to Killzone, actually? Because that kind of the PS4 entry pretty much killed it, didn't it?
That team went on to make Horizon Zero Dawn. That's the same people.
Oh, I did not know that. Oh, that's okay. That does look very, very good.
From what I thought there were a couple of Killzones on the PlayStation 4.
Did they remaster?
Might have.
As I remember, they only made Shadowfall because Sony wanted a Killzone game and basically just gave them a lot of money, and they used that to make Horizon.
The same way that Hello Games are using the money Sony gave them to make free patches.
Yeah.
Right, personally, I won't be playing any of the PlayStation Plus games because I let my subscription lapse because they're asking 50 quid a month, a year. And that's too much for a couple of free games, loads of free games that I won't play, and multiplayer that I don't use.
But Ace, they really want you back.
They do. They've had 3 special offers in the last 5 months, including 2 instances of buy 12 months, get 15 months. And the most recent one is get 12 months and we'll give you a copy of Far Cry 4. Which, 50 quid for Far Cry 4 is a bit much. That's why I don't already own it.
Yeah, despite having not owned a PlayStation for about 2 years now, they keep sending me emails reminding me what's going on PlayStation, why I should rejoin PlayStation Plus.
Well, you should then, if they're so insistent and not desperate at all.
Yeah, at least the Xbox don't do that from a Microsoft platform I've not owned for about 5 years. Now that would be desperate.
Right, we've come to an end to the end of the podcast. I'd like to thank everyone who's been watching along on the various streaming platforms. I'm very sorry about the technical issues that Cello suffered. We'll try and get him a new PC for the next stream. Make sure you tune in tomorrow from 8 o'clock GMT, where Psychopathic will be playing something. Perhaps the thing he was playing yesterday, perhaps Arkham Origins, who knows. So thank you for joining me, Cello, Dominoid, and Catty. You can find us and tweet to us on Twitter at Greencast. Follow Game Grin on Facebook or Twitter, or just Google Game Grin to find us all over the place. And make sure that you tune into David Brevik's stream. Make sure to post the link in the show notes to Greybeard Games. And while you're at it, game on.